In this edition of So Ill, we hear from Michelle Ryan as she discusses the important role that the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency serves in protecting our land, water, and air from pollution.
Hello everyone, welcome to the So Ill podcast. I'm Joel Ryan, a first year medical student here at SIU.
My name is Michelle Ryan. I'm an enforcement attorney with the Bureau of Land for the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay, and what do you do as an enforcement attorney?
So a lot of my job involves talking to technical staff about legal issues that they may have, helping them determine what violations of the Environmental Protection Act and regulations are appropriate given a certain set of facts. I also talk to the public about violations that they may have seen or notices they've received regarding violations. And then I talk to outside counsel, other attorneys, about the technical issues that my technical staff have identified. A lot of attorneys are not very well versed in environmental information, so there's a lot to be learned there.
So you're kind of like a liaison between the people who know what laws people are breaking and then other lawyers to help.
Yes, that's exactly the way I think of it.
All right. So what kind of violations do you deal with?
So our agency enforces the Environmental Protection Act, and we also enforce the regulations under that. So the regulations that I deal with in the Bureau of Land deal with hazardous waste, solid waste, which can be transporting or storage or treatment or improper disposal. We also regulate landfills and other storage and treatment facilities. And we do deal with leaking underground storage tanks. We have programs for used tires and other specific types of waste. So anything that's waste that might end up on the ground, including the groundwater, that's in my area for enforcement.
So what are the most common things you end up dealing with?
I would say that the majority of my time is spent on open dumping, usually of solid waste or construction demolition debris, sometimes used tires, that sort of thing.
What is open dumping?
Open dumping is any refuse from any source that ends up basically on the ground somewhere, either on your property or on somebody else's property.
So trash on the ground.
Trash is a good word. It's not a legally defined term, but
okay.
Yes. It's
So is this include things just like littering, or like how big are we talking?
So littering is one of the things that we're concerned with waste on the ground. We're also concerned with contamination getting into groundwater, things starting on fire. Waste on the ground can often either be set on fire or can become on fire from lightning or other sources. So that's another issue that we're concerned about. And then waste getting into surface waters, we're also concerned about, because contaminants can leach out of those into the water.
So I imagine you don't go around and like look for people like dropping one piece of litter. So how do you like find people who are dumping, or how does this?
Yeah, so most of our open dumping investigations are spurred by complaints that we get from the public, and those can be done on the phone or online or in person. Not very often anymore, but we used to have people come into the office and make complaints in person. Complaints can be anonymous, which is not really my preference, because it's really hard to talk to an anonymous person about if you need more information from them. But one thing that's important is if you do want to make a complaint to us, and even if you do want to remain anonymous, or especially if you do want to remain anonymous, make sure we have enough information to locate the source of the problem so that we can go out there. We get a lot of complaints that are very vague, and it's very difficult for us to determine if any violations have occurred or not, because we can't figure out what the complaint is referring to.
Okay, and so when people make these complaints, they can go, you said in person is not very common, but they can go online or...
Yes, if you go to our website, there's a form online you can fill out, or there's a phone number there you can call and make a complaint to somebody, and it will be forwarded to the correct regional office to investigate.
On the Illinois EPA website?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. It's a good note for our listeners there. Okay, so let's say you receive a complaint what does you or other members of your agency do? How does that process work?
So the complaints get assigned to the field staff in the region where the situation is located, and they'll go out and investigate and see if there are any violations. Sometimes people don't actually live at the property where the violations occur, that they either are on vacation or they have a tenant that lives there and they don't live there, or they just don't live here. They just own a bunch of property that they don't live on. And there can be violations out there that they don't even know about. The thing with the environmental violations is that environmental violations are strict liability, which means you can violate the act even if you don't know about it. So sometimes all we need to do is notify people that there's a problem on their property and they will take care of it. And that's sort of the ideal situation. Sometimes they didn't even know it was happening. Sometimes, particularly if you have property out in a rural area and doesn't seem that really obvious to people will be coming by very often, property owners can become the victims of fly dumping, where other people dump stuff on their property without their knowledge. And they may not realize it, especially if it's on the back 40 or something, until they get a notice from us to telling them that we've observed a violation.
So how common would you say that is? Is people dumping on other people's property something our listeners should be concerned about?
I would definitely be aware of the situation that it occurs, but I would say most of the complaints that we get are of people dumping on their own property. Okay. I will say that if you have waste dumped on your property, it certainly makes it more interesting for other people to add their waste to the pile rather than finding somewhere new to dump it. One problem I have noticed with people when we've observed them dumping on their own property is a lot of times their response to us is that it's their property and they can do whatever they want on their own property. And that's true to an extent, but there are several things you can't do on your own property. And I remind them that you can't do things such as murder people, cook meth, and you can't violate the Environmental Protection Act. So as much as it's not as interesting as the other things, it's still true that you can't do that even if it's your property.
So are there types of waste that's, you know, more concerning than others?
So definitely hazardous waste dumping would be a big problem. But with respect to people's dumping on their own property, a lot of times the problems we see have to do with used tires. Used tires are a particular problem for two different reasons. One is they are the perfect shape to hold water, particularly rainwater, which makes it an excellent nursery for mosquito larvae. And as you know, mosquitoes can cause all kinds of diseases. They carry West Nile virus and encephalitis and other types of things that can make people really sick. So we don't want to provide any more areas for them to proliferate if we don't have to. Sure. The other thing that tires do is they burn very hot and they emit a lot of toxins when they burn. So because they're hot, they tend to catch other things on fire, which is not ideal. And the fire department is not excited about that. And the toxins I recall something like 200 different toxins come out when you burn a tire. So they're really bad to be exposed to that.
Yeah, that does sound bad. So what should people do with their tires then?
So
this is a common issue.
They need to find a registered tire processor to take it to. Now, if you buy a new tire, the tire seller should buy your scrap tire from you. They should pay you a scrap fee and take your old tires, and they should process them correctly, so you shouldn't have to deal with that. But if you happen to have a few tires on your property that you need to get rid of, either from farm equipment, which I know farm equipment uses up a lot of tires, or something else, we have a list of used tire processors on our website that you can call and find out how to get those taken care of for you. In Illinois, you're not allowed to transport more than 20 tires at a time without being a registered tire transporter. So you definitely don't want to just start driving them around.
Okay. So there are plenty of ways to get rid of the tires appropriately. So then why do you see tire dumping or tires so commonly?
I think it's possible because they're not allowed to send tires to the landfill, which is where most people send their waste, is to the landfill, and tires are not allowed to go to the landfill. So I think that's probably why they become a problem. And I think some people just hang on to tires longer than they need to in case they want to reuse them, which is fine. But if you're going to do that, you want to make sure that they're not in an area where they're going to catch fire and they're covered so that they don't retain water and create mosquito babies.
Should people be concerned about using parts of tires in like outdoor, in like any sort of building or construction.
Yeah, so sometimes people will make planters out of tires, and tire swings, of course, people have heard of, and that sort of thing. And those are okay if you make sure that they are not going to hold water. So if you have a tire swing, I would drill holes in the bottom so that any water that collects will drain out before the mosquitoes can lay their larvae there. And if you're doing some kind of a planting, I would just make sure that it's either completely filled with dirt so that it can't hold standing water, and that it's also, you know, away from things that could ignite it, because we don't want it to catch on fire either. So
yeah, I think that's a great thing. Definitely don't want to make more mosquitoes if you can avoid it. So earlier you mentioned also hazardous waste. What does that entail?
So hazardous waste regulations involve all kinds of different things, including permitted treatment, storage, and disposal facilities, generators of hazardous waste. Like, companies have to meet certain requirements depending on how much they generate. And all hazardous waste has to be manifested and tracked and has to land at an appropriate disposal facility. The system is considered a cradle-to-grave regulatory process. So from the moment it starts to be regulated till it's properly disposed of, it is tracked. If you have hazardous waste at home, such as paint thinners or used oil paints or antifreeze or different things like that, used motor oils that you need to dispose of, those are legally allowed to go into your municipal trash with your trash pickup. But ideally, you would want to try and find a household hazardous waste collection. Our agency does sponsor those at certain times in certain areas. We try to get them all over the state. I know that we don't have enough money to do them everywhere all the time, so they may not be as accessible to people down in Southern Illinois. But if you can find one, either in Illinois or maybe in Missouri, that would be a better place to take that stuff. Because even though it's legal to dispose of them in the landfill, the solid waste landfills are not designed to contain hazardous waste, and there could be incidents on the way. Garbage hauler could become injured with certain types of waste. So it's a better idea if you can get them to an appropriate disposal location rather than taking advantage of the trash. But it, like I said, it is legal to put them in your trash if it's your house, not if it's your business.
Hmm. So for these people with home hazardous waste, it should be in small amounts.
Right.
Ideally, so they can find this information, I assume, also on the EPA.
That would be on our website, yes.
Okay, and along with what kind of things would be available to be...
Right, and our household hazardous waste collections are done in conjunction with local authorities, so each local authority may also have restrictions. You may have to pre-register. There may be specific times for specific things to come in, so you need to check on all the details of that and make sure that you meet those requirements. In addition to hazardous waste collections, there's facilities like the bank sometimes will do shredding events so that you can shred your sensitive documents so that you can take care of those and get those. They can be sent to a recycling facility, whereas normally you would not want to send sensitive documents in their whole form to recycling because someone might get your information off of them. But yeah, check around for that because sometimes that's also available to people. And of course, there are recycling facilities and that sort of thing for certain types of materials. Some of the glass and aluminum are some of the most recyclable materials that are available out there that should be pretty much accessible to most people around the whole state.
That actually does bring up an interesting point about recycling. So you mentioned glass and aluminum. I know plastic is pretty commonly recycled. Is there a reason you didn't say plastic?
I didn't mention plastic because there are many... people may know that there are different numbers on the bottom of your plastic, which indicates what type of plastic it is, except for 7, which is other, which means you don't really know what type of plastic that is. As much as some of these plastics can be recycled, a lot of them aren't, even though they're sent for recycling. And plastic can only be recycled once or maybe twice before it cannot be used again. Glass and aluminum can be recycled forever and ever. So those are better materials to use, and then they're better materials to save for recycling. The less plastic you can use, I would say, the better.
So our listeners should try to reduce their plastic intake. Do you think it's not worth it to try to recycle plastic?
No, I mean, if you have someone that's going to collect your plastic, then I would definitely send it to them. It's just that a lot of times the pathway for recycling plastic does not end in a good place, especially if you're taking all 7 types of plastics. Places that limit their plastics to 1s and 2 number plastics on the bottom tend to have a little more success because those are more readily accessibly recyclable. And I hope everybody knows about this, but at grocery stores, most grocery stores will take your plastic bags back. And those are sold to people that make synthetic decking planks for, you know, decks. So they're made out of, I believe, sawdust and recycled plastic. And almost every grocery store, anywhere you go, should be able to take your bags back. So definitely don't just throw them away empty. You can, if you're using them to throw other trash away, that's one thing, but you can also take them back to the store you got them from to recycle those.
That's a great point. It seems like there's a lot of different waste and recycling disposal things in like local areas, so people should really like check what's around them and see what kind of options they have.
Exactly, and the more things that get recycled, the less things end up on the ground for me to deal with. So that
the
is
less,
ideal.
yeah, ulterior motive here. That was a lot of great information about what you do with EPA. Lastly, I'm just a bit curious if you can tell me more about what other kind of things go on at the EPA. I know you mentioned lawyers and technical staff and other divisions. So what kind of other things are going on there?
Yeah, so most of our people are not lawyers. We have very few lawyers in percentage of all the other people. And as I said, I work for the Bureau of Land. So we also have a Bureau of Water that deals with surface water and public water supplies. And then we have a Bureau of Air that deals with air contaminants. And then we have Office of Emergency Response that deals with emergency situations. We have brownfields people that deal with administering grants from the federal programs. There's a lot of different things going on over there. And a lot of times people think when you work at EPA, you know everything that goes on there. And we really don't. We kind of know our area, and that's about it. Oh, and in fact, so like I said, I'm an enforcement attorney. Half of our attorneys are regulatory attorneys. So they spend their time writing regulations. And sometimes they do things like adjusted standards where people want a different regulation, like a site-specific regulation for themselves. Kind of depends. Sometimes the enforcement attorneys do those too. But permit appeals, whenever we have appeals of the permits that we grant or deny, those go get assigned to attorneys. So we have a lot of things going on over there. It's a very variety of things that we get to deal with. So that's kind
of
nice.
You.
Yeah, but ideally we know who to call when we need to know about the next thing. So if you call somebody and say, I need to know about this, hopefully we would know where to direct you at least. So
yeah.
Even if we don't know what the answer is.
Well, yeah, it sounds like that's good. And sounds like the website has a lot for people to look at or find information or file complaints.
It does. It has that search function so you can look up things by keywords and that sort of thing. And we do post all of our enforcement orders and other things on the website. So, and in fact, now in the last few years, we've got a lot of our documentation available on the website through Document Explorer. So instead of filing a Freedom of Information Act request and coming down and making photocopies of papers, you can actually look through the computer at your own home and look at documents, a lot of different types of documents on there. So that's really nice because that's convenient for everybody.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. Do you have any final thoughts for us or our listeners?
No, just with respect to my job, mostly people don't want to talk to me. So hopefully you won't hear from me again after listening to this podcast.
Well, thank you so much for spending the time to talk to me today.
You're welcome.
Michelle Ryan works as assistant legal counsel with the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. Tune in next time for another enlightening episode of So Ill. This podcast is a collaborative production between the SIU School of Medicine and WSIU Public Broadcasting. You can find more episodes at wsiu.org.